You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Leading up to tonight's Game 2 of the series and season, with the Padres taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers, we're back here in the AMR studio, and we kicked out Jordan Carruth, and we brought in Padres managing partner Peter Seidler. Peter,
great trade, by the way.
It's a good upgrade, right?
Thank you. Great to be here. My first show with you, Mike.
Yeah, this is exciting. Yeah. We met in Peoria at spring training, and right. I'm happy to have you on now, and we've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, we kind of touched at the beginning of the show on yesterday's result. We discussed it ad nauseum. No need to get into the specifics of the box score. But how did opening day go for you otherwise, seeing everything getting underway and kicking off in this All-Star game season?
I thought it was a great day. I got out here about 11 o'clock, walked around the ballpark. At 1 o'clock, the fans started coming in, batting practice. Seeing Andy Green before the first game, I just thought everything was amazing. The ballpark looks great. The crowd was energetic. And then my mind has been whitewashed from everything that happened between 4 p.m. yesterday and about 7:30.
After Randy Jones's super sinker didn't quite make home plate after that, right?
So it was a tough game, but it's one game. And I think if you're going to be shut out by the best pitcher in baseball, what's the difference if it's 1-0 or some other score?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, Peter, one of the things that and the history in the ballpark, and I love what the Padres are doing. And by the way, if the fans haven't seen it, just get down here, look at the murals. Not only have everybody's made a big deal of the players, Tony Gwynn, Trevor, Dave Winfield, the murals are up, but there are pictures, blown-up pictures of great moments in Padres history all the way back to the early 1900s.
Right.
You've got to be very proud of how this ballpark looks right now. And what do you see in the future? I mean, we got the Hall of Fame opening. How do you see this evolving over time?
Well, it's interesting. We purchased the team about 3+ years ago. And one of the things that I loved at that time was the ballpark. It's a great ballpark, and it was then. But it's so much better now. There's so many, whether you're talking about food items or drinks that you can get, but honoring the great moments in Padre history, and there's a lot of them, and they should be passed on from generation to generation, and the great players that we've had here. And we're fully committed as much as we possibly can be to creating a lot more of those memories this year and beyond. Yeah, but this is a player's game, and when you talk about, you know, Gwynn and Winfield and Garvey's home run in 1984, you know, I could go on and on. That's why it's so much fun to go, you know, before the game today. You don't know what's going to happen. Shields could throw the first no-hitter in Padre history.
Who knows? It here on Padre Social Hour first.
Right.
How important is it to integrate for the front office, Peter, both the past but also looking ahead at the same time with the All-Star game and Andy Green and a new coaching staff? Where was that on a priority list for you guys, recognizing the past at the same time?
Well, you have to do a lot of things at the same time, and our executive management team are not just great professionals, but they're great jugglers. You know, you can handle celebrating the past while at the same time really focusing on the present and building the best baseball team you can for 2016. But also really key for us is having a baseball plan for the next 2 years and 4 years and 6 years. It's not just about, you know, hopefully catching lightning in a bottle in one particular year, but we want to run a string of winning seasons off, and I think we're building an organization to do it. So bottom line on your question is, honoring the past is really important, and it's fun, and it adds to the game experience here at the ballpark. And you can do that while at the same time you're focusing on the present and the future.
I think fans who haven't been here in a couple of years would be stunned by the different look, how everything has been molded together in the concourses. Now we got the Hall of Fame coming up. But it is really a great look for this ballpark.
Well, I've been involved, and I've seen a lot of the work as our Padre Hall of Fame is coming together to be open July 1st, I believe. and it's going to be really special. It's right outside where we're sitting right now. And in this year where we have the All-Star game later in July, you know, there's a lot of momentous dates as this season comes up. But it's the right time in the franchise's history to put our Hall of Fame together and celebrate those great moments, as you were talking about earlier, and the great players of our past. And, you know, as we bring young Padres through the organization, through the minor league system, and, you know, our rookies with Spangenberg and Blash and Jankowski and others, you know, they can look at that and aspire to, you know, one year being part of that Hall of Fame themselves. And hopefully players on our team now will be the first ones to celebrate a world championship here. That's what all the hard work is all about.
Fans can be so fickle. Some people say they want a complete teardown, and then we start from scratch. Some want to keep competing every single year, and they very easily flip-flop depending on their mood. How important is it for the Padres organization to have one vision statement, which you guys have repeatedly stated, and sticking to that despite what outsiders may say?
Yeah. One of the great things about baseball is that it's a very transparent business. Fans know our business, and we do our best to communicate with them, and I think it's great that we have passionate fans that offer their opinions. All that said, we have to be true to making the best decisions that we know how to make. And the decision that we've made is to build a great organization without the re part of it. You don't have to rebuild to build.
Right.
And I think we have a team that's going to be aggressive, that's going to fight hard, that's going to be competitive this year in 2016. But we're also looking forward to, you know, we traded Craig Kimbrel this year, and a couple of the players that we got back are maybe a year away, one maybe 2 years away. And so you always have to be looking a little bit into the future as well. You know, talk about building an organization. We have, and our fans know this, we have six of the top 85 picks in the June amateur draft, where in a typical year we might have three. So we have twice the potential impact with early round picks. And in baseball, the great thing is the later picks can also bear fruit. So we know who we are. We know what our strategy is. We're committed to it. And I think the key word for us is we're building without the re that some, you know, some organizations talk about rebuilding and being dismally bad for 3 years as part of their strategy. And that's fine. That's their strategy. It is not ours.
Which fans love on paper until they have that
right.
in reality,
right.
and they don't like that anymore.
Plus, yeah. You guys are really gearing up on the international market, too. I mean, the scouting department and everything else.
Yeah, Bill, you're right. The what, you know, as important as any reason and any quality that we saw in A.J. Preller when we hired him a year and a half ago was his ability to find players from all around the globe. And that can be Venezuela, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Korea, Japan, Australia, you name it. And every year the international signing period starts in July. So July will be a big – I mean, we've talked about July being a big month on the business side with the All-Star game and with the opening of our Hall of Fame Museum. But it's a massively important month also on the baseball right. side because of the international signing dates.
The fans haven't seen it yet, but there are already players in the pipeline like Luis Urias, the 18-year-old Mexican kid, Rudy Giron, I mean, that are signed and are beginning to work their
That's
way
right.
up through the system. So
our talent level now at the rookie league level and at the single-A level, as it's good as it's ever been in the history of the Padre organization, and I think at the double-A level and the triple-A level, it's coming. 2 years from now, I can promise you, as much as I know I'm breathing air right now, that I'll be able to say the same thing about the AA and the AAA. And that's what you have to have.
Right.
You have to have a solid team on the field at the major league level and a constant flow. You've heard us talk about one of the lines that Mr. Preller told us when we were interviewing him. You have to have waves of talent. One wave comes in, the next wave's following it up. And I think that's what we're building. It takes a little bit of time, but not a lot of time.
Can't harvest crops without planting some seeds first, and
that
takes some time. Peter, you're going to join us for another segment after this, right?
Count me in.
All right. Make sure if you have some questions for Peter to use the hashtag PadresSH, and we'll get to those here in just a second. But first, for the first time ever, the Padres are hosting a series of week-long summer baseball camps across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. To learn more or to register your future All-Star, visit Padres.com/playball. More with Peter Seidler taking some of your questions after this on Padres Social Hour.